Oh.
Press record.
Ooh.
Asshole.
Devin's all upset because he couldn't get the camera to work.
Fuck. Hold on.
Fuck. What now?
I left my drink.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. It's your show. It's your job.
Well, you're on it. You're on it all the.
You're on it all the time.
Well, I'll quit.
And
then.
You don't seem to care about how you are viewed by the public.
I love opening with a nice big
a
fight.
Nice attack. I am sick of this guy.
This
couldn't
seems...
get the fucking mic to work, and now the camera looks a little off its kilter.
It's askew.
It looks off its axis. This looks like Philly Attardo's seat. Joey, just check
it.
I think it looks fine.
Every
I think
time,
it looks
every,
fine.
So Devin, for 30
it's
minutes
fine.
Now, has been messing with the camera. Every
yeah, because it doesn't work.
Every time Joey touched it, it worked. Every time you touched it, it didn't.
Yeah, well, that's
you
not the reason,
touch.
Though. That doesn't have any, there's
have
no
good,
scientific reasoning behind that.
You have a, there's something about you.
I think it's good.
Maybe there, it's something unexplainable, an energy.
There's an echo, but we'll have to deal
oh,
with it.
Oh, there's an
the,
echo.
The people will have to deal with it. We're
already yelling.
We're over at Joey's great apartment. We got the fucking Cinerama Dome picture right here. We
Chinatown.
Got Chinatown, which is a great movie made by a man.
Roman
that,
Polanski.
That, he, I don't, who knows what he did?
I just want to say.
Nobody has any clue what he did.
I just want to make it.
What he did.
Disclaimer for myself. This is my apartment. I did buy the Chinatown canvas, and it's a stunning work of art. I think Roman Polanski was wrong for what he did. I believe in separating the art from the artist. I think Chinatown.
Same. I agree.
Regardless
with that.
If he was Richard Ramirez.
Yeah.
If,
right.
If Richard Ramirez made Chinatown, it's not going to stop me from saying that's my favorite movie.
No, yeah, exactly. Mm. That's the thing.
It didn't
listen,
stop.
If Ted Bundy was in Led Zeppelin, I still wouldn't throw out their catalog.
That's no. The thing. It's you it gotta.
And it didn't stop Netflix or Amazon or anyone from purchasing the
it's
rights
still on
to
it.
Show it to you again.
Yep. Yeah,
well, don't so bunch me go. In with those
well,
big
nowadays,
corporate scumbags.
Nowadays, people are so woke in such wrong ways that they think the problem with Chinatown is the name. They go, that's a little racist. They go, what? He raped? Well, we don't know. We don't really care about that. It's a racist name.
They prefer to be called Chinese American. Yeah.
Chinese American area
yes,
of,
yeah,
the,
yeah.
of the city.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we've had a good day. We've had a good day. We've all been hanging out. We've been watching audits, you know.
A classic day.
Some classic audits. It's been a good time. I had a great weekend.
Go on.
I met Freddie Gibbs.
Right.
Oh, wow.
I
have a big Hollywood
I have
story.
Another more show. More
kid showbiz.
Kid showbiz is back, folks.
At it again.
And listen, if anyone was wondering, I got the role where I yell the N-word in front of black people. Shocker. That they found me for that.
This is an actual true story.
This is true. I'm going to be on NBC next fucking year.
Peacock, go on.
Peacock, screaming.
Don't
the
call it NBC. Go on.
It was Peacock. It's Peacock. It's not a. It's not. I'm not on Community. I'm not yelling the N-word on Parks and Rec. But it's going to be a really funny show. I hope. I think I had a really good time. I think they're really doing good things.
Our great friend, and who we've known for 5, 6, 7 years now, at
about
this
7 years now, when you think about it,
he has gotten his own show on NBC slash Peacock,
running his own show. Yeah, and so I got a
Peacock is their new thing. That's actually kind of is NBC,
which
now.
I used to make a lot of fun of. You know,
no, I know, but now it like they're putting a lot of money into it. It's
they
like
are.
They're now trying to compete with Netflix. It's going to be like a big network. But yeah, so he had a role, and they were like, hey, why don't you use this big Hollywood hotshot?
Exactly.
Why don't you use this guy? Why don't you use that guy? And he goes, no, my friend Devin's going to be way funnier than all of them in this role.
That's true. That's true. I would argue with you, but that's completely true.
That's how it went
I
down.
Also think it's one of those things where they, you know, they likely couldn't find, you know, somebody with a career that was willing to yell,
Jamie Kennedy
yell the N-word
was
on camera.
On vacation at the time.
But the cool thing, Freddie Gibbs is in the show. He's an actor in the show.
Gangsta Gibbs.
Gangsta Gibbs, my favorite rapper alive. And it was incredible because during the rap party, he was there.
Wow.
And I got to fucking, I met him and somebody, my friend introduced me to him. and I got hammered.
You made a fool of yourself.
I got hammered with Freddie Gibbs. I'm going to post the video on the Patreon.
The video is actually very embarrassing.
It's not embarrassing. It's sweet. And it's charming. And I'm a normal good boy hanging out with Freddie Gibbs. I'm just a simple boy.
I'm a normal good boy.
I'm a normal, simple, good boy hanging out at a bar with Freddie Gibbs. And he wanted to show me his Corvette. And he goes, I got a 2022 Corvette. And I was like, oh, shit, cool. And I was like, I think I said, like, oh, it's like a midlife crisis mobile or so. I said something. He laughed.
Wow, what a badass.
He laughed.
You really grilled him.
Hey, by the way, he's killed people. So that's a big deal.
Has he?
Yeah, I think so.
He hasn't killed anyone.
I think he admitted on Joe Rogan to shooting a crackhead with a
Oh, maybe he killed some people. I didn't know.
He's a gangster rapper.
Well, yeah.
Gary, Indiana.
From Gary, Indiana.
Gary is a
very shitty place.
Gary is rough.
No, if you're from Gary, you probably have killed somebody by the time you're 12 years old.
Yeah, you got to. You know, it's the only way to survive at Gary, and I know that more than him.
But no, so Devin Pope.
More than most.
Devin knows it better than anybody.
The Gary, Indiana kid over
Listen,
here.
Listen, I grew up in Gary for a little
he
bit.
He knew the Jacksons.
I killed a few people. I've killed people. That's why when I met Freddie, I was like, listen, you and I are two peas in a pod, pal.
We've both killed people in Gary.
Two Gary boys.
Actually, once a year, I fly to Gary, Indiana, and I just shoot somebody.
Just to get out of
Because it sucks.
System.
The town sucks, and it's actually legal. It's like how in Texas they let you shoot wild boars.
Yeah, they have
in Gary, they go, we have too many people. Just kill them.
Yeah.
You can come here. We'll pay you to kill them in a helicopter.
It really is a hellhole. I was actually there over the pandemic for a day. It sucks.
It sucks. I was in Gary.
Why did you go to Gary?
Because it was 30 minutes away. I drove through there.
Yeah.
It's like still a semi-famous place because the Jacksons are from there. Yeah. And I'd always knew it was there. I wanted to look at it.
It's an iconic crime town.
It sucks.
Did you like drive through the hood or what?
Yeah. It was, I mean, everything looks like the
hood.
It's
all the hood, basically.
You can't tell what's not the hood.
Did you see anything that was like, whoa, this is more fucked up than, you know?
It was just, what was the only standout thing about it is that the whole place is fucked up. There's no, like, area where you're, there's an area probably that's worse than where I was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was like, it's all bad.
Top to bottom.
It looks like top to bottom dog
shit. Gary
is
so bad.
There's not a nice area.
No.
When you go to, like, a McDonald's in Gary, Indiana, the arches have a do-rag on it. It's a rough area. I was there as a child when the Lakers were playing the Pacers in the finals, and my mom didn't know any better, and she put up a Lakers flag outside of our car, mm-hmm. like, because they had just won the finals and beat the Pacers.
Yeah.
And we were getting, like, almost run off the road. Like, I had to tell my mom to take it down. Like, people were flipping us off. Yeah. And, like,
Devin has the biggest fear of sports rivalries of anyone I've ever met in my life.
Because it's real. It's real out here.
No, Devin has, like, PTSD from when they beat that Dodgers Giants fan to death.
The Dodgers fans beat the living shit out of a Giants fan in the parking lot, and they put him in a coma, and he's been forever changed. And
he survived.
I think he survived.
He survived.
But he's,
so first of all, he survived.
He lives like Hector Salamanca now, but he survived. Yeah, no, his life is great. He's, you know, yeah, he survived. He's Christopher Reeves now. But that was the reason that the Dodger Stadium put lights in the parking lot. There was never lights there before.
I learned this because my friend, Sammy Wolf, is on the Giants. And he, one time I was getting hammered at his house, and he had like a practice jersey that I basically stole. It's just like a cool, you know.
It's a great jersey. It's like a hoodie jersey. It's like a mix.
You wear it to practice to work out. And like, I honestly saw it and basically was like, all right, let me just, I kind of need this. This is pretty rad. Anyways, I started wearing it around LA, and Devin sees me in it and goes like, Joey. And I'm in the arts district.
Yeah.
Devin's like, I don't know if you should be wearing this, dude. Like, he gave me the whole spiel about there was the Dodgers beat a guy almost to death for wearing a Giants jersey. Mm-hmm.
They did.
And I was like, fuck you. Like, what, you're being insane. We're in the arts district.
The arts district, there's tons of Dodgers fans at that bar up the street. I'm looking at it right now.
Well, so then I, you know, something happened where I kind of had to bite my tongue at the Red Lion.
We went to a barn. Yeah, that one crazy guy was going after you a little bit. He wasn't going to kill you, but
No. So it was like at the Red Lion, it's a pretty nice it's not a dangerous bar by any means, but it's a, you know, there was like a group of guys that looked like they were maybe in a biker gang or mm-hmm. something, mm-hmm. or like a fucking metal band or something. And they saw my jersey, and it turned into to them going, "Oh, you're a Giants fan?" And I go, and then they're talking shit about the Giants, and I go, "No, I don't watch baseball. I'm not a fucking loser." My I didn't make it better. I go, "It's my friend's jersey. What are you talking about?"
You insulted
about?
Them for even knowing or caring.
For watching baseball, yeah. Which is, you know, for crying out loud.
It's true. Come on, baseball's boring. It's
boring sport.
I don't literally
like it.
Who cares?
I don't like it. And then they start going, "Well, then why are you wearing the jersey?" I go, "It's my friend's jersey. I support friendship. I support my friend."
And then they changed. They were like, "Oh, fool, like nothing is like stronger than like the bond between like a friend and another friend, fool. Like, you're right. Like, actually, like, I get it."
It got a little
like,
weird for a second, and Devin instantly took it to go, "See, I told you."
I'm just terrified for you. There would be nothing worse than if you were to be beaten within an inch of your life over a game you don't have any respect for or care about.
No, I mean, let's face the facts. I would, even if I got socked by brass knuckles, I'd claw off my back. I would trip using a jiu-jitsu technique that I learned from Cobrinha. I would gain full mount and deliver devastating ground.
We should do that. We should put Joshua the Super Baby in a Dodger in a Giants jersey and like just parade him around Dodger Stadium.
Push him into the drunkest part of like a Dodgers parade.
He'd get fucked with. Honestly, there would be another baby in all Dodgers gear.
Caesar just texted me, by the way. Let me just read.
Let's read Caesar's text.
I love Caesar.
Joshua the Super Baby's dad. Who, by the way, Joshua's like famous now. Off the backs of this podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, he's on ESPN now. After all the work we put in, we get no respect. None. Next time anyone ever brings up Joshua the Super Baby to you in that video, you go, "Ah, well, I know where he made his bones. It was the Hate Watch podcast."
No, we discovered him, and I'm still his official manager, and his dad is contacting me all the time. And honestly, we've just been busy. And So I'll tell you what he said. He goes, he just texts me about like once a week and just says like, "What's the latest? How's it going? What are we doing with the Super Baby? You got any sponsors?"
He goes, "What's the latest? When can my baby get brain damage?" Yeah.
So he goes, today, he goes, "How's everything going?" I go, "Going great, brother. We are beginning to plan for the exhibition at Hegan's gym." Hegan Machado. That's the thing we talked about before. It's the gym that Ashton Kutcher and Vin Diesel train at. Caesar is friends with Hegan Machado. He's a famous jiu-jitsu master, and he's going to let us into the gym to do an exhibition fight for a baby versus a dwarf. He's agreed to it. So I said, getting ready for that. I had a bunch of work stuff come up, so I've been a little bit busy. Sorry. And then I said, "How's everything going with you and Joshua and Natalia, the wife?"
The wife is great. The wife kicks ass. I saw some videos of her fucking.
She's
kicking Caesar. She's like fucking. She's like a Catwoman or some shit.
She's like the Black Widow. She's a stunning Brazilian beauty, and I'm captivated by her.
Yeah,
and
me too.
I would do anything.
I would fucking corner her and do anything.
Well, I mean, I would
corner her.
I'd Roman.
She'd
Polanski
kick your ass.
I was saying, if she asked me to do something crazy, I would do anything she asked.
Right,
including very like perverted
fight her,
stuff.
Like fight her infant.
No, I meant sexual stuff with her.
Sure.
You know, if she said.
If she had sex with you, she would just be like, "Are you going to get Joshua? Is Joshua going to get the fight? Is he going to have brain damage?" She's like, she would be like, "Joey, it just feels so good. But like, if only you could give my baby, my infant baby, my only child, to possibly get brain damage in Dagestan."
When is the pay-per-view, Joey?
Oh, it feels
so
good.
Can we move it up to December?
Joey, this feels so good, but could you please get my only child to have brain damage?
Don't say that about her. She doesn't want that.
No, they're wonderful people.
And she's been...
She's just a little afraid of black people. That's fine.
She's a little... Yeah. So
that's
I guess
Brazilians.
Maybe, because I was scared to tell this earlier, but now I've kind of like... I guess I'm a little jaded to the whole thing. But so yeah, one of the funniest things when I first started talking to the family is I started writing promos for them to say, and I go, here's the Hasbulla promo. Like, here's what you want to say. Say that you hate fake babies and that, you know, Joshua hates fake babies and that he's sick of these fake babies taking money out of the real babies' pockets and all the stuff that you saw in the old episodes. And then I go, so that was the first promo. And then I sent him like three more promos and they were all like, he was attacking DJ Khaled's baby and Kanye West baby.
She was afraid that Elon Musk black baby. People would get involved.
Exactly. So yeah. All these famous babies, and I'm saying like, say that Joshua's going to turn DJ Khaled's baby's bones into a fine powder.
Yeah.
And so he's like, yes, brother, I will do this. I love this, bro. This is so good. Like, oh yeah, he's going to kill their babies. He's like, their babies are, they can't fight at all. And then I go, okay, thanks. So he sends me the Hasbulla one. And then he calls me and goes, oh, bro, like my wife, she like doesn't like this, these other promos, brother. And I go, I'm like, what's the big deal? And he goes, well, maybe talk to my wife. Talk to her. And I go, okay, that's fine. At this point, this is my fourth phone call with her because I'm constantly like putting out fires in their marriage.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I go, I'm like, yeah, put her on. And he puts her on and she goes, okay, I like the Hasbulla is good because he is a fake baby and we should attack him and like that's wrong to be a fake baby. I don't, DJ Khaled, Kanye West baby, I don't know. And I was like, well, I guess what's the disconnect? Why is that off limits? They're all public figures. Mm-hmm. It's totally inbounds. If they're putting their babies out in public, your baby's in public, what's your fear? Just tell me what your fear is.
The fear is they're not banging me. I'd love a big black man to take me.
Well, let's edit that out.
No, Caesar doesn't listen.
No, so what she actually said was, well, I'm scared that they have dangerous black fans.
Mm-hmm. Brazilians are known racists.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a stereotype about Brazilians.
Yeah. It is. It is.
Sorry, Brazilians.
I don't know if it's a stereotype. I think it's a fact about Brazilians. There you go.
Well, I think that in Brazil, they have part of the, first of all, they don't know American black people. Like, they don't have any American black friends. So they don't have a good example of like a cool American black person to be like, oh.
It's not a great excuse, though.
I mean, no, it's a different culture. They don't know any better. It's not an excuse. They don't know any better. Well, it's ignorant.
But then the other black people would just be African black people.
That's what people say about
what's wrong with them.
That's what people say about white people in the 60s. They go, they didn't know any better. They were spraying them with fucking fire hydrants. They didn't know any better.
So listen, Brazilian people aren't white. They're fucking discriminated against just the same as black people are in many places, and especially probably in Southern California. So
Brazilians?
Yeah, they look like Mexicans to everyone out here. So they have a hard time out here.
I'll say this real quick. Just in the service industry, Brazilians actually have a reputation for being some of the biggest pieces of shit. And they go to like 5-star hotels. Like the ones that can travel at least and have the money to do that. They are just like, they just treat everyone like dog shit. They don't tip. They like, they make you do things.
Where is this?
They don't really, know they're gypsies.
Where did you learn this from?
Being a waiter.
In the L.A.?
In D.C.
Fucking D.C.
Tourists. No tourists in D.C.
D.C., nobody cares. No, Brazilians don't go to D.C. You probably had 5 Brazilians come there.
Brazilians have a reputation, Joey, I'm telling you.
Well, what...
It's across the globe.
The Brazilian reputation familiar with is that they are the classiest, most friendliest, nicest people. They are so warm and welcoming. If you go into one of their dojos, which I've done a million times, I've spent a ton of time with Brazilians, and they have all unanimously been super kind and gracious.
They're not known for like jacking your wallet and credit cards on the beach.
Yeah.
No crime in Brazil.
I saw City.
Nothing to worry about in Brazil.
Yeah, Richie watched City of God.
Exactly. Richie, you're racist.
Taught your race.
I know.
You're more racist than Brazilians.
You you're actually more racist than
you
Brazilians.
You can't be racist against Brazilians.
Yeah, you can.
No, you can.
I'm actually a little racist towards Brazilians.
They're not a race.
I am too.
I'm
a little
racist because I'm like, why can't Brazilians just speak Spanish? Can we just cut the shit? Enough of the facade. What is Portuguese? Why? You're Mexican.
Devin has a million brilliant.
Speak Spanish.
This is my point that you can't be racist against Brazilians. There's no like
kidding.
Keeping Brazilians down.
Devin
racism.
Has a million of the dumbest opinions ever that are also brilliant and awesome. One of them is, how is there droughts? Why don't they put out buckets?
That is, honestly, I'll fight somebody on that. I really don't understand. Are we not collecting the water? There's a drought. It rained. So drought's over now.
Yeah.
End of drought.
End of drought.
Put out a fucking bucket.
End of drought.
Newsom.
Yeah.
That's why we're recalling you.
So, but his best one of these is, why don't Brazilians speak Spanish? And it's my favorite one by far. But anyways, the point of this is that, yes, there is a sect of Brazilian culture.
They're just afraid.
But
there's black Brazilians. They're just not
It's like Anderson Silva is a black Brazilian.
Exactly. So,
and he gets discriminated against by other Brazilians. And so, yeah, I'm not... Listen.
There you go. Racist Brazilians.
There you go.
They're very racist.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's true. I don't... Yeah. So they are. And I... But I will say, I guess the reason I'm defending them is because I love the Super Baby's family so much. And by the way, Caesar has never said one word at all about being scared of black people.
His wife on the other hand.
Yeah, no, here's the thing. I think all wives are afraid of black people.
Yes.
I think it's like just a wife thing.
Well, so see, I think
wives are racist.
Even black wives are like, yeah, but black people, they might, who knows?
Yeah.
The possibilities
are endless.
Yeah.
No, kidding. Anyway, I met Freddie Gibbs.
Once you get a wife.
Oh, yeah. Freddie Gibbs.
Freddie fucking Gibbs. Gangster Gibbs.
Yeah,
I was an embarrassment around old Freddie.
Thank you for admitting that.
I was. I mean, the video, I didn't even remember the video I took. I sent it to these guys the next day. Well, first off, pretty cool. He started talking to me on his own for a second, and he brought up his car, like his Corvette, and he's like, kept saying, like, Corvette 2022. 2022 Corvette.
By the way, this is the most Gary Indiana thing ever.
It
to
is.
Think that a Corvette
exactly.
is like a Lambo.
No, exactly. He might as well have brought me outside to show me his Hot Wheel. So he goes, you want to see it? And I was like, fucking, of course. You're Freddie Gibbs. I'll fucking look at anything. He could take me out front and be like, yeah, that's the Metro I took. Yeah. I'd be like, oh, that's great. is that the bus you took here? Amazing. So he brings me out front. I'm the only one he's bringing out. Once again, very special. I'm a special person in this story. And so then he walks across the street, gets in his Corvette, pulls it up right in front of me, and he revs the engine. I'm taking this video, and he gets out. He's a performer. He's very fucking funny. He gets out of the car, and he just looks at me like a pimp, just like, you see that shit? Just like stunting on me. And in the video, Joey, what's the thing I say? He walks in and I go, that's pretty good. I go, that's a pretty good car. I turn into Larry David.
Yeah. Devin hates code switching so much.
People that are fake.
Which is a compliment, but you turn into Larry David. You're like, I'm going to go Jewish instead of black.
No, not really. I always in the back of my mind, I'm like, don't you fucking even think about being like, that shit's dope. Like, never.
Yeah.
Ever.
It's disgusting.
If
you would have done that.
I'm much more the type of guy that goes, that's pretty good.
No. If you would have done like a cool voice to him that you haven't ever done before, then I probably would have been like, I can't talk to you for like a month.
I know.
The video actually, you appear to be a massive loser in the video.
And that's what's so lovable.
But exactly.
Exactly.
It's endearing. I sent it to all my friends in South Dakota, and I go, because they love Devin, they watch the podcast, and they're like,
do they know Freddie Gibbs?
So actually, Brock didn't know Freddie.
Of course
Gibbs.
He didn't. Of course, he thinks he's a fuck. He thinks he plays for the Warriors.
Broccoli. And I attacked him on that. And some of the other guys knew who he was. The guys that like follow hip hop and like know hip hop. Brock, I attacked him on this. But so he, I guess he's probably way more famous in California than anywhere else.
Yeah, he's very famous now, but he's also like, it's weird. He's in this area where he's like still not widely known.
Not like Kanye famous.
Yeah, no.
He's kind of like a Schoolboy Q, where like Schoolboy California
is,
everybody knows him, but you know, if you go anywhere else, you'll find like a decent amount of people that don't know him.
Yeah.
Right.
So anyway, send it to them. And my whole pitch of it was this, watch this video of Devin interacting with Freddie Gibbs, and the reason it's so awesome is because he treats Freddie Gibbs exactly like how he treats, you know, a friend that shows up to get drunk at his mom's house with us.
Yes.
Right.
So he pulls his car around.
I'm authentic.
Yeah. No. And he's, yeah. So Freddie Gibbs has this court. He's the coolest guy I've ever seen.
Our friend John acted like, yo, Devin being a cracker. Jesus Christ, Devin. John is, he moved to Atlanta to literally meet a black person. Okay? He acts like, oh my God, you didn't code switch like I would? Or what? What are you talking about, John?
No,
John pissed me off.
Kidding. I love John. I miss him.
But John acted like, Jesus, Devin's being such a cracker. I'm being myself. And you want to know why? Because it allowed me to hang out with him the rest of the night, because black people love when white people are just white.
They like authenticity.
They love when a white guy is just being how he is. And I treated Freddie Gibbs' Corvette like I treated, you know, if Richie showed up in some rental.
Right,
and
exactly.
I would have been like, that's
exactly.
Pretty good. It's pretty good, Richie.
Exactly.
I said the same thing. I didn't go, damn, motherfucker, this shit is dope as fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I didn't do some bullshit.
Right.
And he hung out with me. And then we were. I smoked a blunt with Freddie Gibbs.
Yeah.
Very cool moment for me.
That's awesome.
Add it to the list. Seth Rogen, Freddie Gibbs. Okay.
I mean, you've got a long list. You got the Disney. That's, maybe we'll put all the famous celeb stories on the Patreon.
Kind of crazy. Freddie Gibbs. So my friend Jack goes, hey, Freddie, you got weed? And he's walking away. He goes, does a dog shit in the motherfucking woods?
Which isn't even the same.
And we go, that's not, it's a bear. We're like, it's not a, dogs. I mean, I guess
dogs,
maybe.
They don't live in the woods.
We're like,
they could, if you take them there, they would shit there, but they don't live
there. Yeah, I think I said, you know, I'm sure at some point a dog shit in the woods, but it's not, well, Freddie, it's not the same.
It's bears.
So then he's rolling the blunt, and then he drops his, like, rolling papers. And I can't tell you the amount of anxiety this gave me because I'm white, where I was just like, well, but he dropped one of his goods. I have to tell him he dropped he dropped some of a product he bought. And I'm so cheap. I'm like, I mean, that's, you know, who wants to lose their rolling papers? That's who wants to have to go back and buy them. So he dropped them and he's rolling the blunt. We're all having a good time. And then I literally the whole time I'm like, I'm in cruise control because I'm in the back of my mind. I'm like, I got to tell him about, he dropped a thing behind
it's
him.
Bothering you the entire time.
Bothering me the whole time. Just this Larry David in me. I'm just like, but you paid for that. I didn't want to just like reach down and get it because then you just look like you're a cuck. So then I was like, hey man, I think you dropped your rolling papers. Yeah. And he goes, fuck those N-words. he goes,
you can say it on Peacock, but you can't say it on the podcast.
I only say it on NBC. But
Don Buckmeyer isn't sponsoring it, no one gets it.
He immediately wrote it off. He acted like me telling him that was like I was in prison and I was like, dropped your soap, and like I was gonna like rape him or something. He wanted nothing to do with his lost goods.
That's a cool move. That's a guy that just lives in a zone of constant
rapper defenses at all times.
It was a rapper defense
mechanism.
You'll
never get Freddie Gibbs. That's on a lot.
An athlete enters like a flow state. It's like a rapper does that for just being a cool guy.
Yeah,
he was so fucking cool.
I drop something, it's gone forever.
The problem with me, man, is like in life, I'm always like, I don't know how long I'm gonna live. I don't know how long any of this nonsense is gonna go. When I meet people that I truly love, like Freddie Gibbs is legitimately my favorite rapper. Like for the last 2-3 years, I'm like, okay, Freddie Gibbs is like the Tim Dillon of comedy to me, where I'm like, okay, Tim Dillon's the only comic. Freddie Gibbs,
he's the Tim Dillon of rap.
Freddie Gibbs, only rapper.
Yeah.
Like, he's like my, I listen to Bandana so much. I kind of threw my girlfriend under the bus and I didn't even realize I did. But when I met him, I was like, bro, I've listened to Bandana so much that like my girlfriend will be like, okay, Devin, you can't keep fucking playing the same song.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. Crime pays. And he like kind of laughed at her. But then like the next day I realized I was like, I just kind of acted like my girlfriend hates him for my.
He doesn't care. He realizes what you're
was
trying to
there?
Do.
Was she there?
Yeah, she was. Ida was there.
Like right in front of her.
Ida took a sip of his drink.
Oh, right,
I was
right,
like,
right,
what
yeah,
are you?
Yeah.
I was like, is that a margarita? And he was like, you want some? And he like gave it to Ida.
See, Conor needs to learn from Freddie. Conor McGregor needs to learn from Freddie Gibbs, because I bet exactly. you not at one moment did he ever do anything where it was like, oh, he wants to fuck
no,
Ida.
No, not a single creepy thing. Well, Freddie Gibbs has had a crazy career, man. In 2015, he was falsely accused of rape by an Austrian woman who claimed that he raped her in a dream. And his whole freedom was up in the air for he was facing 10 fucking years.
I'm not following what you're saying. He was on tour
in Austria.
Yeah.
And he performed, and some people went back to a room with some girl. Some people in his crew went back to the room with a girl, and the next day she claimed that she had a dream that Freddie Gibbs raped her.
Right, but so how did that become a charge?
No, she claimed.
How does
she,
a dream?
No, she claimed she was raped by Freddie Gibbs. Later, it was a dream.
It was a dream.
Jesus,
and
he
was traumatized. He almost quit rap.
He was in international prison for like what, 8 months?
Yes, he was in an actual.
Oh, God damn,
in Austria.
Joey, he was in an Austrian prison with fucking guys with swastikas. For like eight months, facing Jesus. 10 years
God damn.
In a different country. Like some Emmett Till type shit. Like some classic, you're right. White supremacy actually is not going anywhere. Like that is crazy.
Yeah.
So he came back, he recalibrated, and then he fucking found Madlib and just started putting out the greatest music of all time. And but I had a couple fanboy moments with him. Where I was like really hammered at the end of the night, and I was around him alone. I was like, listen, man, I'm one of these guys that like pretends like I'm not, you know, impressed by who I'm around or like, you know, a fan. And I was like, bro, you're like my favorite rapper alive. Like like everything, like the last 3-4 years of your career has been just nothing but greatness. And he's like a cool guy. He's like not being like, oh man,
I
only like bitches to, you know, say that, whatever. And then I said, like, well, I couldn't think of the album with Currency. Fetty. I couldn't think of Fetty.
Yeah.
I kept saying that album you did with the other dude.
Hey, you couldn't even remember Currency.
I wanted to say Consequence, because earlier in the night we were talking about Consequence and GLC.
Oh, okay.
And I just I was so drunk, I couldn't think of Currency. And he goes, Fetty? And I was like, yes, Fetty, like with new things on it. Like that shit is the shit. Like it should have been nominated, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, yeah, tell me about it. I know that shit. Like, blah, blah, that shit.
It's a really good album.
It's really good. But no, he was cool. And that's honestly all. That's all I remember. But like he kept telling us to come to some other club. And
you said, no, I'm busy.
I said, listen,
Devin didn't go.
I said, sorry, pal, I got to record the Hate Watch pod tomorrow, bright and early.
I need to rest for
I need to rest for my pod.
And then Freddie asked to be on, and Devin went, oh, I don't know. I mean, are you even in comedy?
No, listen,
what do you do?
Next time
next
time I see Freddie Gibbs, I'm going to ask him to do the podcast.
Oh, wow.
He won't. But he's also the type of guy that's like cool
comedy.
And he loves comedy. And if he likes me, he might do it.
If he like me?
If he like me though. No, but for real, like it was one of the all time nights of my life. It was just nothing was that special about it, but like the fact that like I got introduced to him.
He
turned around from the bar like fucking Jimmy Conway in Goodfellas, like meeting Henry.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Jack was like, you haven't met Freddie? He acted like, of course, my friend acts like, I've known him.
Devin might have met Freddie.
Like, I was supposed to tell my friend, like, I've known him before you.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, no, we go way back.
Of course I know Freddie, yeah.
So he, like, leads me over to the bar, and he's just at the bar, and then he's talking to people. Jack taps his shoulder, and he turns, and Jack's great at introductions, and he gave me this great introduction. And I had a cool black handshake with him, like a black handshake, and I nailed it. I nailed it, dude.
Well, how did it go? Do it on Richie.
It was more like just fingers, like just like, and then lean in. It was more like, you fucking man,
Richie. Thank God
you're messing up.
Richie's a white boy, bro.
I know how it goes. It's like this.
Yeah. That was a little violent, but yeah,
it was
kind of more like that. And I nailed
it. With Freddie, he's as strong as me.
Nailed it. And then I jumped for joy. But yeah, no, it was great. I'm moving to Gary.
I will say, last thing on Freddie Gibbs is that I'm not like the biggest hip hop fan. There are a few things that make it on my radar for hip hop, and Freddie Gibbs is one of them. And for like the last, you know, few years, he's one of my favorite guys.
He's the best. So he's so funny. His Instagram is so fucking funny.
And that's part of why, like, I don't sit there and listen to his music at the gym or anything like that. But when I'm at home on the computer and I just want to watch some like good, funny, interesting shit, it's Freddie Gibbs. And I'll go on a rabbit hole. I watch all the interviews he does. And so when I saw that, in living in LA, you just become jaded to like celebrity stuff.
Right, exactly.
But seeing that, where Devin just drops this thing where Freddie Gibbs is revving the engine of some like Corvette that he just bought, there was a moment where I was like, well, that's kind of weird. That's kind of cool.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It was almost cooler than like the Seth Rogen night.
I think it's way cooler.
I mean, rappers are always cooler than
Freddie
anybody
Gibbs
else.
Is cooler than Seth Rogen. I think Seth Rogen would agree with that.
Well, you know what? Freddie Gibbs.
Seth Rogen would have been maybe a contender back, like if they if he just like released, you know, Superbad.
He's also like, I could get this feeling from him where he had this down to earth like person in him. He wasn't just being this like rapper stunting like an asshole. Like even when he brought me out to his car, it was in like a tongue in cheek way.
Right.
Like he knows that being a rapper is like you're kind of a wrestler.
Right.
And you do shit like that because it's like funny.
Yeah.
But like the whole night I got this vibe from him that I think because he made it later in life. Yeah. Everybody that makes it later in life is just more down to earth.
They have more perspective.
Yeah. They know it's like this is all a joke.
Yeah.
And so he was, you know, because the rap party was mostly the people in the bar, but some people out front, like, you were just regular people, and they were coming in, and then they saw him, and then they started pretending like they were a part of the rap party, and like, just to hang out with him.
That's why he appreciates you being like a authentic yourself person, because he must meet, I bet like 80-90% of the people that he meets, like of the white people that he meets, even if they don't mean to, they end up doing a little bit of like, what's up, man? I got you doing, bro.
Exactly. Dude, I don't know how to explain this. I hate playing it cool. Like, I hate it. I don't mean it, that sounds weird, but like my whole life, like if I don't know, if I was massively famous and somebody really loved me, I wouldn't expect them to not mention anything about it.
Right.
Like when I meet somebody that I love and that I know their catalog and like I really listen to you all the time, I don't know how to not try and be an authentic version of myself that's also like, but dude, I'm a fan. Like I love fans. Well, I love when somebody is like an authentic fan. It's earnest.
I think that probably comes from your overall belief just to never be unauthentic.
Yes. So when I'm in a moment like that, I'm like, when I met him, when I did the handshake, let's do it again. I was like, I'm a big fan, man. Like, but I was cool. Like, I was drunk and I was just like playing. I was like, not nervous, but I was like,
I'm not going to be over the top.
I said I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
Like, and I think most people would be like, that's sus. That's whatever. Like, you're not supposed to act like you fucking know who the guy is that you play in your car.
Right.
That makes you feel good when you're driving, you know, high or like whatever. Like, like enough. I hate that shit. Like, I met a guy that I don't think I would meet.
I mean, that phenomenon extends beyond famous people in Los Angeles. It's the same thing where you go to like a work conference, for example. This happens to me, and you meet a client that is a company that you know. If you become friends with, it might net your company another $100 million revenue per year if you hit it off with them. And that's why I'm terrible at these conferences, because when I meet these people, it's the exact same thing. And it stems from just like not being genuine. It grosses you out. It grosses me out.
Yes, yeah.
In every situation, whether it's a famous person who could get you something from being a star in Hollywood, or it's just somebody that, you know, helps your job, whatever it is, it's like I have that exact same bone in my body where it's just like, I don't have the muscle to be a fake person with you at all. And it grosses me
out. I hate it, man. It kills me. The same, I mean, this is like a funny, you know, ridiculous comparison, but like, you know how Patrice used to say, like, when I lie, I feel like I die inside, like I'm dying.
Yeah, it, like,
and
hurts.
The only thing I have is to not lie.
Yeah.
And so I guess, like,
be the truth. Be the truth.
Be the truth, all that shit. It's like, obviously, this is a little different. I'm not like just, I'm not exclaiming, you know, my feelings, but I am. I'm like, I don't know how to lie and be like, oh, I don't care that Freddie Gibbs is here. I'm going to pretend it's totally normal
in
my life.
There's areas.
I fucking did Postmates 2 years ago, bro. Like, yeah. I listen to you all the time.
Yeah.
Also, the thing
is cool.
The reason people are fake is because it's born from desperation. They're
fear.
Desperate. It's fear. And
it's coded fear. It's like a, it's this. Yeah. It's a fake defense mechanism for fear. Like,
well, sure.
Yeah.
So it's a fear that my genuine personality is not going to be enough to impress this person. And then it's a desperation of, let me put on this act to try to win them over.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they try to do that, they think that, oh, this might work, but it's inevitably transparent.
And then they see you secretly on Instagram being like, I'm with Freddie Gibbs, or I'm with this famous person. And then they're like, oh.
Yeah.
At least if I come off immediately like, I'm with Freddie fucking Gibbs, like,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't really know how a famous person could be like off put by that, but a lot are.
So here's the thing, though. It's like, the reason that people do that front is because they're like, I want Freddie Gibbs. I don't want him to be like, oh, is he going to be off put by this? I think if you're actually a real person, and it's like the whole thing of, you know, real recognize real, where it's like...
That's what I said. I said to him,
Joey all candidly be like, if it's a... real, recognize real.
When I met,
I honestly couldn't think of a white way to say it. But so
when I shook Freddie Gibbs's hand, I was like, real, recognize real, dog. Like, I was like, that's it.
I would have just gone Gary Bowen.
I shook his hand. I was like, Gary Indiana, bro.
Gary Bowen.
I was like, Gary Indiana, bro. Gary Indiana. Blah, 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 blah. What was that? Remember when we met Tyler, the Creator? I've met him actually multiple times, but I remember I met him with you.
I met him with you. So.
And he put his... we introduced ourselves.
Yeah.
And you go, hey, dude. We were outside the comedy store, and you were like, hey, what's up, dude? No. I don't even think we said who we knew who he was.
No. Here's how it went down. I remember this, This is one of the rare memories from this time period that I actually remember. So, same friend, Jack, who has the show.
Who, by the way, I love to death and is one of the greatest people at introductions to famous people. Like, he knows a lot of famous people, and he is incredible at just, like, you know, introducing a famous person to a janitor. He'll be like, yo, bro.
Best janitor in the building.
He'll be like, yo, Dave Chappelle, like, this is, like, the greatest, like, cleanup crew in the game. Like these
the
people,
will
like,
be
these
shining.
People will fucking make your bed. Yeah. Do, like, and then, like, Dave Chappelle will be like, yo, like, love. Yeah. Like,
no, so he did that to Devin in front of me, to Tyler, the Creator, and it was, like, Gerard Carmichael.
Yeah.
And then Michael Che?
No, I don't think Michael Che was
there.
It was like
there was one other semi-famous guy.
It was
there,
like,
I can't remember.
Gerard, Tyler, Jack, and somebody else, but I don't remember who they were.
So at this point, we were just like going to the comedy store with Jack and our friends, like a decent, like, what, you know, every few weeks we would go with them. They were there all the time, but, you know, we'd be getting drunk, and they're like, oh, you want to come with? Well, let's do it. So we go, and I have no idea who's going to be at the comedy store, and you never know. So, you know, it's like Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle and fucking Louis C.K. are there. But on this, and you don't talk to them, but on this night, we get out of the Uber, and we're with Jack. He doesn't say anything. We just get out of the Uber, and suddenly it's just like...
It's just Gerard, Tyler, the Creator,
and whoever it was. And... they're just in the friend circle. Like, in the same way that, like, oh, we go to a bar, we happen to know a couple of people, like, you form a circle.
And I remember Tyler was very, very endearing because he was, like me, in a way, like, extremely authentically, like, just a fan. And he was just raving about Kanye. and Kanye's production, and he was like getting into it on this like in-depth level, like that album, like the way that Kanye does this and does that, and like
he was like
an excited kid, and that was the moment that I was like, oh, this guy's actually an artist. Like Tyler's not just like a Yonkers, like, you know, like fucking
he's
shock.
Like a, he's a composer.
Shock value,
he's like a
guy.
Musician.
The guy's like a composer. He really fucking loves this.
Yeah. He's a student.
He was a student. And the way he was talking about Kanye was very endearing in that circle. And so then,
by the way, the name of this podcast is Name Drop.
Name Drop. You did it. That's it.
Yeah.
You name dropped the podcast. Name drop. You fucking name dropper.
Yeah, we get out of the Uber. We go there now. Suddenly, and I, at this point in time, I'm doing like pills and I'm drinking
you
heavily.
Had Valium on you. Yeah, like we were, I think we probably offered Tyler, like, do you want to fucking get, you want to get high?
Want to go blow some Valium?
We were like, hey bro, do you want to go snort some Valium? You and I were like fucking like characters from The Town, just showing up to the Comedy Store. Like, we were like in Place Beyond the Pines. Like, hey,
there's real white people left in Los Angeles.
When I saw Tyler, I was like, you got my oxys? Yes. You coming to the party? Yes.
But no, yeah. Also, at this time, I had like a permanent sweat.
Yes. You had the meat sweats.
I had the meat sweats.
I think we got Korean barbecue before. We probably had the meat. We had the meat sweats.
I had the meat.
Smelled like just smoke.
There was an 8-month period of time, and I was chain smoking cigarettes, and I just constantly had like a slight sweat.
Yeah, Joey just smelled like a campfire for like 2 years.
No, yeah, it's like... you know, if you, you know, so.
So we, when we get introduced to Tyler, Tyler, the creator, goes, oh, cool. Nice to meet you, bro. And he puts his pinky out like this. Like,
oh, no, here's what happened.
He goes, nice to meet you. And he puts his pinky out.
So we're standing in this circle and I realize, oh, that's Tyler, the creator. That's Gerard Carmichael. And then, you know.
This other guy.
There's, you know, Biggie Smalls' manager. I can't remember.
There's little C's was there. Yeah. Whatever.
No, you know, it wasn't a famous guy. It was Tyler's security guy.
Yeah, it was like just a guy.
And he looked like the villain from Friday.
Debo.
Yeah.
His neck was like wider than his head.
Yeah, he had like no neck.
He had no neck.
Yeah.
And like he had a missing eye. And
yeah,
like,
yeah.
And he was just like, you could tell, like, he was just on. It was like.
He looked like a black boulder.
No, exactly.
He was just a rock. Man was just a circular rock.
It was like if Compton had a Mossad.
Yeah.
He had like earpieces in and
He was on
night vision goggles.
He was on high alert. Like, he was clearly a security guy, but he also looked like he killed 10 to 15 people.
Yes.
But so anyways, we get into the circle and it was just like an odd situation where, and I'm probably like still like 2 years from being into LA. And so I'm just sort of just like, and I still don't care. I probably would have the exact same reaction today, but it's like, okay, if you're in my circle of friends, mm-hmm. I'm going to introduce myself to you. So I enter the circle and I just instantly, I think I started with the fucking psycho security guard.
Yeah.
He had like murder in his eyes and I just I just go like, hey man, nice to meet you. And he just gave me a look like, well, am I going to have to kill you tonight? And I go, he looks at him, no, I'm not going to have to. All right, nice. And then I shook his hand and he was just like, oh, right, man. Like, I'm
Gerard's
way
too
cool
for school. He's just looking down.
Yeah. And
just,
then
he thinks he's charming white people at all times.
Might have been one, two other people in that circle. And then I go to Tyler, the creator, and I just go like, nice to meet you, man. And he just looks at me and he's looking right at, like, just staring
at me. Yeah, he like made it really weird.
And I go, I'm like, oh, no handshake, that's fine. Yeah. But he just keeps looking at me, like gazing into my eyes.
Yeah.
And then he finally goes,
nice to meet you, bro.
He puts his pinky up into my face.
Yeah, puts his pinky out. Literally a pinky.
He slowly puts his pinky
up. And then Joey goes, all right. And then just, all right, brother. And like,
he does like a pinky swear.
They did a pinky like handshake.
It was a pinky promise of some kind. And then At that point, I started drinking heavily, and then I forget, honestly, I don't have...
I don't remember any of the rest of that night, but I just remember meeting him with you and the pinky thing. I can't remember if he did the pinky thing to me. I think he did. I think we both just laughed, like, really hard, like, while we did it. Like, okay.
Like, I just did it like, sure. I guess this is L.A. I guess this is... I guess... I thought maybe this is like a Pizzagate initiation.
Yeah, true. And then I did his comedy show later on.
Yes.
And he called me the N-word because he thought I was cool.
Listen, guys.
And it all comes full
circle.
It's
in a video on YouTube. Tyler Creator calls me the N-word. He laughed.
On Patreon.
He laughed at a joke very hard, and he goes, you a N-word. You a N-word. And you could audibly hear it's him. And backstage, he was... trying to like fuck with everybody on the show. He was on his phone and he would just be like, Lionel, what? You fucked him in the butt? Wait, Lionel, you fucked him in the butt, bro? Like, what? Dude, you can't just fuck people in the butt.
Wow.
Like, just walking right by us, and we were, I would just shake my head like, Tyler the Creator, classic. That's classic. I go, that's classic when you're in this biz.
Showbiz.
Showbiz.
What are you gonna do?
And then I performed to him and all of Odd Future. And it was an interesting night. Because it also wasn't a packed venue. It was like, it was kind of like just Odd Future and like a couple women. Like strewn about this theater. Interesting times living in LA, folks. You have a lot of weird experiences. And nobody really does anything for you.
It's the city of songs.
Every time in LA, you check the camera. Oh, don't move it.
No, I'll put it right back. But let me just do this.
All right. Now we have. Now what's going on now?
He's showing the
skyline.
Showing
the city. Look at that.
All right, that's nice.
It's pretty good. Is it still recording?
Yeah.
Joey
had a crazy look in his eyes just now.
What's the minute?
51:43.
All right, that's what we got here.
Right.
Very good. I think we're all in it. Very good. Joey just starts looking at porn. He's just like, let me just take your phone to the bathroom real quick. We hear him jerking off.
We're like talking
that's
about
in the episode.
Yeah. Like, so you met Freddie Gibbs. It's like,
I'm checking up to Freddie Gibbs in this. Freddie Gibbs.
But yeah, man. LA is weird, man. My whole life, you know, growing up here, it's like I've met a lot of famous people, and I gotta tell you, when you're not doing great, every time you meet one of them, you just want to be like, hey, it's great to meet you. Can I have a job? Can I hold your bags?
Yeah.
I'll do anything. You're famous. I used to want to like when I used to write scripts. I used to want to be like, how do I get this out there? I would be like, why don't I just go to like Melrose and like find famous people and just drop my script in front of them, be like, oh my God, I just dropped my script.
You slip them the script.
I'm sorry, oh my God, it's pretty funny though, this script. Does anyone want to read it? Like I'm outside of Earth
Cafe.
A lot
of good jokes. I'm not going to pick it up yet. A lot of good jokes.
A lot of good jokes in it. I'm not going to pick it up. If anyone else wants to pick it up, that's fine. Hasn't been registered yet with the trademark WGA whatever.
No, the city's filled with desperation.
It just reeks of desperation.
And hey, losers.
You know, Travis Bickle got his wish recently. New York had a rain come that washed away all the fucking dirt and the
very
junkies.
Good, very,
wow, very good.
There's
very
a
good.
There's a
big flood. Yeah.
There's a flood in Manhattan.
No,
it's like Venice.
No, I caught the
big flood.
No, it's crazy.
And they still think it's the greatest city on earth. People are fucking riding around on trash can tops.
What neighborhoods were flooded?
Manhattan.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
I think Manhattan's like really fucked up by it, mm-hmm. right? Fuck. What's going on? What happened?
I don't know.
Just
I saw
like big flood. The rain was really bad.
A lot of bad rain.
And then the rain went down the stairs.
It went down
the stairs into the
it went
subway.
In. And it crept up.
Interesting. Richie really understands.
It goes in
things.
And it creeps up.
Yeah. So the rain.
I know someone who was in a train car and it was like four. It was like a 3 feet of
Jesus
water.
Christ.
What do you study the aqueducts over there?
The levees broke in Manhattan.
So the water came into the. It came into the fucking. The
yeah, in the train the, car, and people the, were like bashing the windows trying to get out. But then the train conductor was like, "Don't do that because if the power comes back on, the train's moving and you're dying."
Because they would jump out of the train.
Well, there's not enough space in between the wall and the train, like you'd be like up against the wall. Yeah. The train would be moving at like however fast it goes.
Well, you know, surprising that would happen in a city where everyone rides a cattle car around.
Yeah. Tries a what?
A cattle car.
What is that?
The Nazis put Jews on.
Oh, jeez.
Right.
Everyone in New York
actually. Richie, you should have known that.
Yeah, you should have known that. I thought you were on one. What was that? Only fucking 80 years ago?
I should have known that.
Richie, you definitely should have known that. I don't know all Jewish. You know,
Richie doesn't know what a cattle car is.
Richie, that's weird.
What an embarrassing Jew.
It sounded like for cows.
You're an embarrassment to Jews.
It sounded like for cows.
They called them cattle cars.
That's why. Because
it was because they treated you Jews like cows.
So I don't know one Jew thing. You know all the Lebanese things? You know all the South Dakota things?
No, but I don't ever
act your heritage is, French things.
Yeah, I don't ever act like I care about Lebanese people.
You act like you're real Jewish. You have nothing to talk about.
You act all Jewish sometimes.
No, I don't.
You act pretty Jewish.
You act really Jewish sometimes,
You make blatantly anti-Semitic jokes, and every once in a while I go like, hey, chill out a little bit. And you go, well, you're acting all Jewish now, which is like a double down on being anti-Semitic. Because you feel uncomfortable now.
What is it? What is an anti-Semitic?
Well, listen, I've never.
I don't remember because I don't care enough because I'm not.
You don't remember
I'm not
that.
Oh, because when the big Jew you're painting me as, remember? I don't remember. I don't care that much. But
if
you're gonna, it's my gut. I'm not going to be inauthentic.
He didn't know what a cattle car was.
If you're going to accuse
and now he's acting like he has the brain of a cow. No memory whatsoever. We need Anton Chigurh to come and fucking fix you up. I love every episode now
I'm gonna quit this podcast. I don't even want to do this anymore.
Oh, by the way,
I just sit here, I'm like, yeah, whatever, very funny, and then I get attacked.
This podcast sucks. We just said you weren't.
I hate doing this.
We just said you weren't a Jew.
This sucks.
You're a bad Jew.
You're a bad Jew, we said.
Yeah, great. Whatever.
Now, Richie's actually a good Jew. Richie, what I will say is, listen, the guy's not a historian.
Yeah, like, I don't care about
Guilty as charged.
I don't care about Judaism at all. You'll, like, turn to me and ask me, like, is this a Jewish thing? And I'll be like, if I know about it, I'll tell you.
No.
I'm not a practicing Jew.
I gotta say, it was kind of surprising you didn't know what a cattle car was.
That was odd.
I thought that's a very common term.
So let me jump in and defend
Richie. When you say it now, I'm like, yeah, you're right, it is. It slipped my mind.
I'm actually ashamed of myself.
All right, relax. Don't quit the podcast.
You jumped down my throat.
Nobody jumped down your throat. This is
cool
wrestling. We're doing a joke here.
You know,
no, you should have known that as a Jew, but you actually are still a good Jew,
The Jew thing is weird. At any moment, I can't do anything. You say Jew, can't get offended.
Well,
I'm
Jewish.
That's not cool. No, you're not.
Yes, I am. My dad's Jewish.
No, you're not.
Jewish.
No, you're not
Jewish.
Why am I not Jewish?
I'm saying, I want to know. At any point in time, I got, it's not just you guys. I got other people.
Who's coming at you?
Dude, anywhere you go as a Jew, this is already, it's going to get attacked in the 10 comments we get.
Well, you better get used to it.
Richie's
I'm
proving
quit.
That he's a
I don't
Jew
have
right
to get
now.
Why are you
going to
quit? What is going on with you?
I might quit.
Why do you keep saying you're going to quit?
Hey, by the way, it's the only move I got.
I don't know what you mean.
This big reaction? Very Jewish.
Exactly.
No.
That's all I got. No, but it's not you guys specifically.
He can't stand the two people that comment.
No, it's everywhere I go. There's somebody's always trying to. It's like the only thing left that anyone who's a fucking loser could use because they can't make fun of a black person. You know, everyone's way too afraid.
I happen to agree with all this.
You're not going to make fun of anyone else. You're a pussy. So
yeah,
you go at the lowest hanging fruit. We're the lowest hanging fruit now. It's annoying.
It's now popular. And listen,
it's a little annoying. That's all I'm saying.
So listen, and I don't want to sound like I'm overly defending Richie because I love Richie, but I'm not saying this for Richie. I have seen the exact same thing where it's now popular for people to it's acceptable for you know people liberals to hate Jews.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I see it from our Hollywood. I'm a liberal. I see it from our Hollywood friends.
Listen, we're all liberals.
What are you talking about?
Our Hollywood friends, like, God forbid you made a wrong comment, they'll jump down your throat. Like, even if it's true, like, about a different culture.
But then they're allowed to attack you.
Jews and we somehow got lumped in with disgusting piece of shit Armenians.
What a turn.
It's sickening.
Wow, what a turn. Richie's like all sanctimonious. He calls it culture disgusting scumbags.
You found the joke. I honestly didn't even know what Armenians were until I moved to LA. So.
Honestly, most people not from California have any clue what Armenians are.
I had never met or never heard of them.
I grew up around them, and I was just yelling at... I thought they were Jews. I kept being like, fucking Jews. He's like,
once I found out they were Jews,
I found out that they were like Jews without like praying. And I was like, oh, bro, that's...
I'll also say, quick little side note, I hate getting bunched in with Israelis. Because Israelis are pieces of shit.
They're really militant.
Israelis I've met are kind of like not good people. they do shady, shitty things.
They're very business.
I don't want to get into it, but...
So now you're pissing me off.
Yeah, Joey...
Well, I'm a great defender
Joey
of Israel.
Is a
well,
big defender
of Israel.
You're right, but my ideals...
Honestly, Richie, though, what do Jews... what... If you don't care about Israel, then what are you, like a Lone Ranger Jew?
No, all I care about is the fact that I have to deal with the we're a low hanging fruit punchline at this point. It's been going on since I was a kid. You know,
it's going on.
South Park and Borat, mostly Borat, but like seriously, it's honestly not you guys as much. But it's just like it goes on every single time on it's in podcasting especially.
You're gonna quit the pod.
I'm not gonna quit the podcast. Relax.
Is that a bit?
Maybe, maybe not.
Well, you know what?
No, it's not. But in podcast,
go ahead, leave, migrate, take the big walk.
No, but in podcasting especially, it's kind of getting really lame. And then I have to talk to people. And the lane, you don't understand. I have to see it from people who are not funny at all.
Who are you doing?
I'm not going to name.
Now that we're not in comedy anymore, like what names.
No, in comedy it's actually better because they're so liberal in comedy. Comedians don't actually say anything. Well, some do, but you know, very rare. Real, but like the lame ass like comics that we'd see in like the East Side of L.A. They're not making.
No, they would never make.
They're not making Jew jokes. But no, I'm just saying, like, anyone who listens
comedy
to podcasts...
Comedy store people do.
Anyone, even podcasts I like. I'm not even shitting on the podcast by naming them, but, like, Cumtown fan, Matt and Shane fan, that's, like, all they got. They're too scared to make any other jokes.
They love making Jew jokes.
Yeah, Let me clarify my thoughts on this whole thing, because I
don't want to look bad on this. Let me clarify my thoughts on the whole thing.
I'm Jewish, so I actually am also outraged.
And by the way, Devin's Jewish and Rich is Jewish, and I'm actually Jewish.
I've always been annoyed by Jews and their rules, because, like, why am I not Jewish? Jewish. My dad is Jewish. Don't I have Jew blood in me? I don't get it.
Your dad is Jewish?
Yes, my dad, my mom, my grandma's Jewish.
So your dad is half Jewish?
Yeah, my dad's my grandfather on my dad's side wasn't Jewish. He was Italian.
So that's not Jewish. Yeah, that's
but my grandmother was.
Yeah, that's not Jewish.
Why?
Did your dad at any point ever practice Judaism?
No.
So then no.
Well, why do you have to practice it?
It's a cultural thing.
But it's also a race.
No, it is.
No, the reason you're not is...
It's become cultural.
Look at my nose from the side. I'm a fucking Jew.
The reason Devin's not Jewish has nothing to do with your mom. It has to do with the fact that you're only a quarter Jewish. That's like I'm technically a quarter Irish. No one gives a shit if you're a quarter...
Irish in your family?
That's too low.
You have a grandparent that's fully Irish?
On both sides of my family in the like grandparent... great-grandparent region. They converted. Nobody cares about this, but I'll tell you because you asked.
Say whatever you are based in, and if anyone's getting upset at anything you're saying,
you don't claim a quarter. Say you are that. Claim anything.
Devin uses this as a great defense. Anytime he's attacked for any situation.
Identity politics are nonsense, so say you're anything.
Devin's a dirty mutt, so anytime somebody... gets on him about something that he said. If it was about Syrians, Devin goes, I'm a Syrian.
I got some.
If it's about Jew stuff, I'm a Jew. Sorry, guys.
I hate to be the big Hollywood liberal, but not everybody has that luxury.
Well, the luxury of being
people,
a dirty
Latinos
LA mutt.
Dirty Jew.
Everybody has the luxury of lying, and that's what these people in Hollywood are.
A black person cannot lie about being black.
Right, and that's why, I'm sorry about black people, but that's why they have it rough, because they can't lie.
Right. I can't, Everybody knows I'm Jewish. I can't lie about being Jewish.
How does everyone know you're Jewish? You could easily be Armenian.
Yeah,
yeah, that helps.
Even more hated than the Jews.
Richie, look at me.
I'm only a hated person.
Richie, look right at me. I don't know if I
don't see Jew in you.
No, some people have actually thought I'm Latino, which is really weird.
Yeah, you're like, not you an obvious.
Like you could be Argentinian.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, some people thought I'm like South American. Yeah. I've been considered racially ambiguous, but it's usually a hated group of people. I normally fall into a hated group.
What's one group in the world that's not hated? They're all hated by somebody. Somebody hates everybody.
I'm talking in places that matter, in cities. Not like, fucking black people hate Jews, in Appalachia.
Yeah, Jews have it rough in major cities.
Well, no, Jews...
As far as running into lame-ass punchlines with stupid people when
you gotta deal with a punchline while you fucking live in the fucking 50th floor in a penthouse. God forbid you hear the echo of a punchline from your fucking penthouse.
I'm a poor Jew. I am a poor Jew. I don't have those penthouse luxuries.
A poor Jew.
I wish I had. Well, if I was in a penthouse, I'd take it.
Jesus, that's like being a fucking non-athletic black person, a poor Jew.
Yeah, and they,
it's like a seven-foot-tall guy that can't play basketball.
Just can't fucking put it in the rim. Put it in the hole, Jamal.
More stereotypes that I have to deal with. You don't know how hard
I
got it.
You guys have been giving Richie hell the podcast in the comments, okay, guys? Cut it out, okay? He's not a Jew.
I'm not talking about the comments.
Guys, you got it all wrong. He's not.
He's Puerto Rican.
I'm not talking about the 10 people that comment, the one...
No, there's this one maniac that...
That's not what I'm talking about. He didn't even make it Jewish.
He hated RAV4s more than Jews.
He's going to make it Jewish now.
He's going to make it really Jewish now.
He just hates me.
You just set yourself up for a world of hurt, pal.
I know, which is funny because you actually got me better than making a Jew joke. You just hated me for me, just at my core, which was a much better move. If you make it Jewish now, you're actually a lame-o.
Well, here's
then
the
you're
thing.
Just taking their cue.
Here's the thing.
Which makes you unoriginal.
The thing is that we're all dealing with the very, very early beginnings of podcast fans, where podcast fans are psychopaths, and so they always find one person where they go, that's him.
That's not what I'm talking about.
I've been in a war. Joey's
been at war with a podcast fan.
Let me read some of these comments. Richie, finish your juice stuff.
That's why. Why would you give a shit about Jews all of a sudden if it wasn't for these fucking anti-Jew comments?
I don't give a shit about Jews in general.
I'm against a lot of the stuff Israel does in Palestine. I just think they get a bad rap because a lot of the super far left guys say that Palestine's completely innocent.
Right.
Israel does a ton of bad stuff. I just wanted to clarify that because I mentioned something earlier.
I heard Israel's full of Jews.
Whatever. I don't even want to talk about it anymore. It's a low-hanging fruit punchline. It's almost like hack.
Yeah, of course it's hack.
I'm not talking about comments. I'm talking about podcast fans that I meet in person. And I'm talking about in general when you're doing a show.
Who have you met in person?
I'm not going to name them because they already got upset about it. But that's not the point.
Honestly, for a second, I thought Richie was like, I'm not going to name those fucking Jews.
No, but just in general, and I see it in general, and then I also just, I said it would be like any hack joke. It just, in this case, it happens to be like, it's always directed at me because I am Jewish, so I'm just like, oh my God! Enough.
Well, Richie,
like every time it's just like you don't know what
boring.
To say.
I get
so
it.
So you
boring.
Turn and go Jew joke. You would never do that with any other race or culture ever.
Richie, yeah. I love you.
It would be tactful. It would
I
be
think you're
out.
A beautiful
it's not tactful
Jewish
and
man.
It's not thought out.
I think you're a stunning, beautiful Jew.
I get it. It's easy.
And fucking piece of shit Jews don't deserve tact. You know, maybe
it's easy.
I don't know. Maybe not.
I get it. It's easy.
But let me go into my war that I'm having.
What?
Okay. So
Joey's been at war for
Joey's
a while,
been at
though.
War in the comments.
I gotta go pee real quick, but
so,
yeah.
Good. I want Devin out of here for this because I'm gonna trash him. Stay in there. Yeah, false sorry.
I am not wrong.
I hope you're taking a dump because this I want to drag you through the mud. So on False Argument, right. There was an episode called False Argument.
Yeah.
And on the episode, Devin starts going in on he hates I think restaurants that require vaccination statuses, right? And, you know, it was also just like in general, like, you know, I don't want to do masks. I think we need to stop this. What's the point of the vax and the mask stuff? I don't want to put words in his mouth because, frankly, I don't remember.
Right.
But so what I said on the thing was, first of all, if I am, if somebody, hypothetical situation, which Devin calls a false argument, classic line by Devin, I said, hypothetical, if I am in a place with a stranger and I happen to find out that they're at risk of COVID and they might die and they're unvaxxed, yes, I will avoid getting within
well,
6 feet of them.
Well, here's where I'm going to stop you real
quick. Okay, go ahead.
The discrepancy there to me is that you added an extra detail. It was simply about them not being vaxxed. That's what we were talking about. It wasn't this extra, like, they're at risk and all this other stuff. If they're at a bar and they're at risk, they shouldn't be at a bar if you're that much at risk.
Right, they're just
not vaxxed.
So I'm happy to stay on that, too. So if somebody's unvaccinated and let's say that there is a 50% chance that they're at risk, mm-hmm. or, you know, let's call it a 50-50, I would rather avoid them. And I'll stand by that. If it's at no cost to me, which is what I was saying, or like it's not going to affect my night, if I could walk away, then I certainly would do that, and I still say that. Well, so go on.
Here's another thing I'll say. I think the main crux of the argument had to do with, do you care about whether you know or not is not even really relevant to me. It's more about, like, do you care if you kind of kill that person or not?
Yeah, I do. So I do, yeah.
And that was the big crux. And where I kind of also sort of sided with Devin was,
you'll never know if you killed that person.
Well, you won't know. That's the huge point.
It's a false argument, but it's another hypothetical.
That's a hypothetical.
If you could find out.
But also, I'm like, well, at this point, if you're not getting vaxxed, like, go fuck yourself.
So I can't do that quite yet. I can't. I'm not quite ready to.
Or you took the risk. The risk, and you ended up
in
a bar.
If you're going
out. I don't know how I gave it to you.
No. And listen, I am totally in favor of somebody taking the risk.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, had I been made aware, I would take a step back to lower the chances of them dying. To lower the risk that they've decided to take, I will do that to be magnanimous because it's at no cost
to
me.
The 0.0013 chance.
Of healthy people. But so people that are at
how
risk.
How many times are you at the bar hanging out with fat bastards?
Every night.
There is
usually some obese piece of shit at every bar you go to.
What are you talking about?
Am I supposed to stop them from eating?
Like 70% of the country is fat.
Am I supposed to stop that person? Am I supposed to give a shit later on that night when that fat person eats a fucking handle of M&M's and has a cheeseburger and fucking a whole meal?
Are you supposed to care that they're eating?
About their health? I supposed to be like, oh my God, you're going to die. I might be killing you by co-signing you eating this meal.
No. The question is, if you're around a very fat person who is like wheezing.
Unvaxxed.
I mean, who
would
is
you step
this?
Away?
Who is this gigantic?
I'd step away
fat,
because I don't want to get sick.
80% of the country is fat as fuck.
Also,
70%.
I'll say this: I have a tough time, like, really, like, if I hear, I'll be like, "Oh, that's sad. This X person died." If I don't actually know you, I have a really hard time, like, kind of.
No. So I'm not going to sit there and mourn in the same way that I would mourn if a friend died.
Do you stop?
What if I could? If I could avoid killing them with no effort? This is an uncontroversial take.
I don't know if I'd feel anything.
You're acting like you would know.
I'm not asking you to be sad at their death. I'm saying without having to do anything,
right, but the flip
except
side,
for
but the
stepping
flip,
away.
Yeah, but the flip side is,
you know how many times I've been at a bar?
The flip side is you don't do something, you don't change your behavior, and you do kill them. So then do you feel bad? And I'm saying, I don't think I do. I don't know you. You didn't.
No.
It's like watching a drunk person leave the bar and get in a car. You don't go like, "Don't drive, guy. I don't know."
No,
like,
because
it's every man for themselves out there. Yeah. I don't fucking know.
No, because in the first situation, you're not required to take any action. There is no active requirement from you. It's literally just not being by them. In a situation where you're trying to stop a drunkard from getting into a car, that's a physical altercation. That's a much different situation. So what I'm talking about, Richie, is yes, an action could kill somebody, and a dissimilar act could end up killing them as well. I'm talking about a specific situation where you know you could prevent this from happening. So it's a very uncontroversial point, right? I'm saying if it's at no cost to me, I would avoid infecting somebody with a virus if they're fat or old, right? It's a, simply anyone who disagrees with that is now
I want
an
it.
Insane
I kind of want to disagree. I don't know why.
I'm coming in hot and I'm coming in super confident and you want to argue because that's fun. But it's an indefensible point. So anyways, I make this comment on the thing and Devin's fans, he's got a lot of really cool fans and some of them tracked me down on Instagram, the really cool ones.
Yeah.
And I deny the ones that are bad, but the good ones I accept, and they send me nice messages, and they're cool as hell.
Yeah.
And there's a group of them who have Instagram handles that are like, Cuckmaster 420. And you just, listen, I bet that guy's kind of funny sometimes, right. But I can't accept him just because... It's like, all right, I have a serious job, and I don't know if this guy's going to hunt me or what. So I deny those guys. But then you find out in the comments they turn up. And what they don't realize is I live for arguing. I love it. I can't wait for it. So here's what happens. Here's what happens. First comment, it's a Japanese guy named Akiko Ito. And I promise you he's a white guy who's just a
he just loves
loser.
Anime.
He's an anime guy. He's got a foxtail butt plug in his ass. He's jogging around like a fucking bunny. He's doing bunny hands in his house and hopping around on his webcam. So here's what Akiko goes. He goes, this is the first time I've heard two grown men defend the police state. He's talking about you, Richie, by the way. You're backpedaling, but you must have said something.
Richie was on your side at the beginning.
I was
a lone ranger.
No, the part where it's different.
You were a lone ranger. By the way,
were mad about the vax card, and I was defending a private business's right to do it or not do it.
My whole thing, too.
I think
but
it's
so,
bullshit.
So anyways, by the way, Devin is... He's got this ability to argue about anything, even if he's completely clueless about it. And I'm not saying he was on this, but in anything where he's able to deliver lines, like he'll give you like an attack and then he'll give you a line, but it's delivered with such confidence that you start going like, oh my God, like...
Am I wrong about
it? Like, how was that so confident? It shakes you.
Yeah. It's the name of the game.
Yeah.
But you're so good at it. And I've never seen anyone as good at it.
Devin used to always deliver this line with like such confidence. We'd always argue about The Wire and The Sopranos. Now that came to an end when
that's a slam dunk.
Slow down. I actually ended up agreeing with Devin later on a completely different point than the one I'm about to make. But the one I would like hear it and I like didn't have a response and then I figured out a response later. But he'd always be like, "The Sopranos is more cinematic," and then I'd be like, "That's true, but what does that matter?"
It's a non-statement, but he's doing it so confidently.
That just means it's more like a movie. That doesn't make anything better or worse than anything else.
It does. I'll fight you right now.
Movies are great.
I'll fight you right
movies
now.
Movies are great. But like then I could be like, The Wire's more theatrical. Does that make it better or worse?
No, because theater sucks. And cinema is better than theater.
Here we go again, folks.
I'm defeated.
No, but I would agree with that, but a bunch of people wouldn't. They'd be like, no, theater's an incredible art form. Dialogue's better. It's better for the actors.
Devin would scream something insane about that.
It's more powerful. The emotions behind it. Less contrived.
More people that are less charismatic than others think theater is better than cinema.
Right, whatever. My point is,
I want to let this go, but we're getting late. Let me just finish these comments real quick. So Keiko comes in.
All right.
The first time I've ever heard two grown men defend the police state. I come in and listen, man. I he doesn't know that I've been just waiting. I've been studying. I've been doing research. Because I woke up the next day and I go, what was that argument? Was I right? This is how my mom, I go, let me do the, let me dig into the case law on that. So I go, so he goes, first time I've heard two grandmen argue about, defend the police. I go, how's a private business the state? I clearly said I was against any government mandate that affects freedom. Also, how have you never heard of people defending the police state? They're everywhere. I mean, that's the entire CNN.
Blue Lives Matter. CNN, not even.
They're all defending this so-called police state where, you know, the government's Fauci and all that.
Yeah, you haven't heard of it is ridiculous.
Of course. So
you cannot agree with it, but to not hear about it.
To have never heard about it, what are you? You're living, I guess.
In a bubble.
Your only access
must be in Japan.
Yeah, exactly.
You might tail in your ass.
You're masturbating to octopus porn.
You're obsessed with hentai all day.
Yeah, so I say that to him, and he goes, you literally want to ask your friends every 8 months, show me your papers. And now it's getting into things where he's just making stuff up. I don't know what that even means, and I wish that he had a better argument. But it gets better later. And he goes, getting the vaccine is a decision people make with their doctor and doesn't concern you. You're acting like the Gestapo. So I say, what? When did I ever say anything about checking my friends for 8 months? I literally never said that. I don't know what he's talking about. I go, give me a timestamp. I'm confused. What I said is that if you have a private business, you should have the freedom to make your own rules about who enters. Current freedom to do that is also what allows people to enforce the no shirt, no shoes, no service policy, which, by the way, is if you take that away from private businesses, they're fucked.
Oh, yeah.
If you take that away, that extends the implications of removing that are now that you can basically walk into a private business and be a complete scumbag, trash it, wreck their business. You can fuck it up as much as you want. Yeah. So I'm making this very good point, and I go, I'm not saying the government should be allowed to tell the private business they need to require vax proof. I'm saying the private business should be able to decide if they want to do that. The patrons can make a decision about whether they want to give them their business or not. This is a core tenet to capitalism and the free market and blah, blah, blah. So I go on, and this is where it starts getting spicy.
Right.
This is where I start fucking slam dunking on people. I mean, I thought I should be, you know, a lawyer or maybe a Supreme Court justice.
You told people one time outside of a bar that you got in a huge fight with them, and you said that you could study for the bar for
the bar
a week,
like 2 weeks,
and you said you could pass it in a week.
Not a week. No,
you said that.
Three weeks easy.
I think I said 3 months.
Three months.
Like I could.
It was not 3 months.
It was like a month.
It was literally.
It was not a week.
It was a week.
No.
It was a week.
No way.
It was a week. You said it was a week.
I couldn't. Well, I'll say I'll rescind that. I couldn't do it in a week.
That was also.
I could do it all 3 months, yes.
That was also the same night that like someone was talking about their breaking up with their girlfriend, like a really long-term
and relationship. And Joey was like, my dog just died. Who cares about you and your girlfriend?
Well, you know, no. What
he goes, I just had to put to rest a beauty in my life. Who cares that you fucking broke up with your girlfriend? You can't sleep with her anymore. Who gives a shit?
So on that, I'll tell you. So on that, I'll tell you my perspective is so I bought a beautiful dog, yes, on the Ukrainian black market.
Yeah, I drove you to the guy in Irvine. We went and bought this dog.
You know what? And somewhere I have a picture of Devin in the parking lot where this Ukrainian made us meet him to do this illegal dog transaction. And Devin's holding the dog, and it's the sweetest picture ever. That was the best dog. Maybe we'll put that on the Patreon.
Meadow
is the sweetest dog ever. I talked to Devin. I go, what should I name the dog? And I'm thinking about names. And I'm, you know, all my friends are like, do a funny name. Do a funny name.
Yeah, name her Tits McGee.
Exactly. And I'm like, you know, I don't, like, I get it. Or, like, name her Susan. That'd be, I'm like, I guess that's funny in some weird way. It's not. And also, it's like a dog that I'm going to be living with.
People always forget you're going to be with the dog. You're supposed to be with it for, like, a decade.
Exactly.
You don't want to call a dog Susan for a decade.
Exactly. And, you know, you're still going to love the dog, but it's like, okay, I'm not going to commit to a 10-year-long goof. So Devin, I think it was your idea to name her Meadow,
I think,
right?
I said Meadow, yeah.
So Devin's like, Meadow would be cool. And I go, you know, by itself is a really nice name. Mm-hmm. And then also, of course, The Sopranos. So I named her Meadow. And so we get this dog off the black market from a Ukrainian man.
And we're driving
in a parking lot.
We go in the parking lot. There's a Petco in the parking lot. We go to the Petco. We buy all this dog stuff. And it's like, we're driving. We have like an hour and a half trip back home. And I'm driving it. And we're just having the greatest time with this fucking beauty. And, you know, Parvo, I guess. She had Parvo from the fucking the breeder, this piece of shit idiot that sold it to us, that sold her to us.
What did you say, Indian?
No, the piece of shit breeder that sold her to us.
And yeah, no,
She died.
She died. And it was the greatest dog ever. It was like a. She, you know, he handed her off to me and Devin, and she was like sleepy, and we were like, oh, I guess she just had like a long drive. She's a sleepy pup.
But she had a fever.
She was sick. And then so I brought her back to my place, and you know, every once in a while she could play fetch and stuff, but she just kept laying down. And I guess when a dog is sick, this makes it even sadder, is that when they're sick, they want like compassion. Mm-hmm. So like she constantly just needed to be around me. So I'm like holding her nonstop, and she's just finally, after like 3-4 days of it or whatever, where it's like,
you were like,
I've never had a dog.
You were like, something's up.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I've never had a dog, but it's after like 3 days, it was like, okay, something is weird. And I just fucking bailed from work, Ubered to the vet, and like, yeah, she has parvovirus, and here's what we gotta do. I spent like fucking,
you spent like
$7,000-$8,000.
Yeah, you spent like a lot of money. Yeah. Jesus. But he won it back because he sued the guy.
Dirty Ukrainian. And all you dog psychos out there, I now realize there's reputable dog vendors that you go through.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. At that point, I bought the dog on a whim because I saw Schoolboy Q had that same dog. Schoolboy Q on Instagram, with all of his stories were with this like amazing dog. Yeah. And at some point on some day, I was just like, I love that. Let me buy one of these. And I just went, found one on Craigslist, ends up being from a Ukrainian black market, and just bad luck.
And you were in it was a horrible time. It was a really horrible time. I felt, you know, it was just, I got super sad about it because I, you know.
And it's one of the saddest things ever.
It's horrible. It's horrible. But so I remember the week, like a couple weeks after that, we were at a comedy show and our friend was talking about breaking up with their girlfriend.
First of all, I completely forgot
and
why
Joey,
we started
Joey
this.
Was, right. Joey was just hammered and still reeling with...
And this
with,
fucking dumbass just broke up with his stupid girlfriend.
And Joey...
and he's acting like it's worse.
This dumbass. Well, he wasn't acting like it's worse. He didn't know. You brought it up out of nowhere.
Yeah. No,
he was just commiserating about breaking up with his girlfriend.
He wasn't talking about it in the circle.
He was
off to the side.
Yeah, he was off to the side.
You,
and then
you attacked him.
You were just drunk, and you were sick of hearing him talk about like his girlfriend, and you were like, all right, enough. Nobody cares about you and your girlfriend. Yeah. I just laid to rest a beautiful pup. He started screaming at everybody about how like they didn't care that your dog died, and everyone's like, "Well, that's horrible too, Joey." But it doesn't take away from the fact that he broke up with his girlfriend.
Not true. So that's not true at all. You missed a couple. You missed a couple parts of that conversation where it was like, he would sit there complaining about his dumbass bullshit.
It's all his fault.
No, he was sitting there going like, oh, you know, I'm a sad loser. My girlfriend broke up with me. And I was going like, oh, that is sad.
It was like his girlfriend of like 5 years.
Yeah. No, like, they were dating.
Half a decade.
They weren't engaged or anything. They were dating for whatever, a couple years. And then so he's going, oh, you know, I'm really sad about it. And I'm go- I, and so at some point I was like, dude, I'm actually sad too. My dog just
you didn't say it like that.
No, that was the first time
you
I
came
brought it
in
up.
Hot. No, you literally shut him down. You go, all right, who cares?
Yeah, you said who
about
cares
about your stupid girlfriend? I just laid to rest a beautiful dog.
No, like, no, 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 no.
My dog just died, and nobody cares.
No, no. So that was the first mention of it to him, where I go like, "Dude, I feel your pain, brother. I'm sad as well, brother." And he goes,
"I'm sad as well,
and
brother."
And then he just did one of these where he's just like, "Uh huh, you're right," and like just like didn't acknowledge my sadness. And then later it's just like he's still pouting, and then
he's still pouting,
and then finally we reached the boiling point where I was like, dude, shut the fuck up. Like, I'm like, I like, dude, what is this, a big pity party? Like, I have a dead dog. Like, your girlfriend, she's not texting you anymore. Like, shut up, dumbass. We, you know, Sweet Meadow is been cremated. And he had a bone to pick with that. And you know, for crying out loud, if I had to shed a tear for every fucking loser friend that broke up
with, true. It's like, who gives a shit at this point? Sake.
If I have to care about every fucking dumbass relationship.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
So
you had more of a bone to you suffered a bigger tragedy.
Yeah.
It's true.
So anyways, let's quickly finish
let's
this comment.
Let's finish up the comments and let's wrap this up.
So dominating Akiko, the Japanese man.
Tailing his ass.
Trotting around like a bunny with a foxtail butt plug. He vanished, by the way. After he realized, like, oh, wait, this guy
he's
is
like responding.
Willing to
yeah,
respond.
Yeah, yeah.
He disappeared. So then this other guy, oh God, it's another, like, brony. It's a furry.
It's another furry.
The guy's name is Roarbert, like Robert, but Roarbert.
By the way, I support you. If you love the podcast, I support you. If you love my videos, I support you.
Oh, me too, by the way. Like, dude, Roarbert.
We're kidding. We're fucking
around. Or the
Japanese
guy, if you're out there, like,
Aiko.
If you actually listen, Akiko,
apparently, Joey's been in an argument with Taika Waititi.
By the way, comments. I live
the
in Little Tokyo.
The director of Jojo Rabbit.
I live in Little Tokyo.
Is fighting Joey.
So I God bless Japanese people. It's my favorite culture. Akira Kurosawa is my favorite.
Japanese people are the best. They're my favorite Asians.
I love the samurai, everything. So anyways, Japanese cuck disappears to you know, refit his butt plug. This new brony appears.
Yeah.
Roarbert Baratheon. So it's like a bear-themed name. Like,
sure,
Robert,
yeah.
But it's
bears.
Roar. And then his last name is like Barathon, but he made it Barathon.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's a bear guy. He's probably a bear.
He loves bears.
You know. So but he kind of comes in with a semi-compelling argument. He goes, and just how do you expect these businesses to know the private medical statuses of patrons before they enter without some violation of people's privacy? Sounds like you didn't think your position out very well. Also, businesses can't deny service to black folks, so there's already a precedent for the government meddling with that no shirt, no shoes shit, right? So it gets a little foggy at the end, but he's making a compelling point.
Mm-hmm.
So this is my final comment, and then we're going to get off this, but whoa, mama mia, do I come in with the best response ever? And let me just
had to take a shot right before reading the response. Here we go.
Wow.
So wowee.
So I go, yes, private businesses are prohibited from discriminating based on race by the Civil Rights Act of 1964. If you're against government meddling, like how he put it, then you should also be against the government stepping in to prohibit private businesses from being allowed to ask about safety precautions relating to a virus that is killing old and fat people en masse. I guess there's an argument for zero meddling and letting private businesses not serve people based on race or anything else, and then letting the free market decide whether or not they want to give them their business. But if that's what you support, then you should be fully in favor of allowing them to ask about virus stuff. If you are in favor of government meddling, then I can help you with that. But no one is required to enter a private business and are also not required to answer any questions they feel uncomfortable with. Entering someone's private business without an invitation and then being asked a question by them is not even close to being a violation of privacy. If we made requesting information illegal, where do we draw the line? Are restaurants and bars also banned from asking about health-related concerns regarding food allergies? Can a waiter ask how your day is going?
You're like liberal Tucker Carlson right now.
It seems yes. to... Since when do liberals defend freedom? Adamantly. You got it all backwards.
I was trying to make you sound bad. I said Tucker Carlson. I didn't want to say you sound like Tucker Carlson.
Well,
so I threw in liberal to offset the fact that I'm relating you to Tucker Carlson.
Nothing liberal about a guy
all right,
defending
fine, you
freedom.
You sound like Tucker Carlson.
Tucker Carlson actually, is against the virus. He's against any virus precautions.
So, listen.
It's not a crystal clear.
We get it.
This guy's. I'm in favor of.
It's a paragraph right there. You wrote it. That's a novel.
No, I have like one more sentence left.
Okay,
in this.
Let's go.
But so by the way, this is dynamite. As far as I'm.
It's dynamite.
As far as I'm concerned, I might start a new podcast where I just read my own comments. But so. So listen, it's not a crystal, and that's why these fucking idiots are having the same trouble where they're giving me conflicting political beliefs where this guy's like, oh, the government's already meddling with stuff. I don't want them to do any more meddling. And yet he wants them to meddle and say they're not allowed to ask for vax. So these people are just fucking dumb fucks. It's the same thing as liberals who are saying, I am in favor of people making their own. I'm in favor of freedom when it comes to abortion stuff. Right. I think people should have the freedom. And then when it comes to gun stuff, oh, I'm now against freedom. So it's these dumb fuck idiots that are so subscribed to their side of the political ideology that they can't even
think
for
that
themselves.
Yeah. It's all the if you can't just have a normal, honest opinion about something because of your political ideology, right. It's
so
very,
I
end.
This is the last sentence. It seems to me like you're the one who hasn't put a lot of thought into this. I personally find asking for a vaccination status obnoxious, but they should definitely be allowed to do it in a free country. And guys,
drop the mic.
Let's fucking come on, guys.
Okay.
What are we talking about here, you fucking cucks?
Exactly.
You furry cucks?
Does a dog shit in the motherfucking woods? All right, that's all.
All right.
All right.